These are the weekly security headlines from Daily Tech News Show for the week ending June 19th, 2020. I'm Tom Merritt. Mozilla introduced its VPN service, Firefox Private Network, last year, then expanded it to Android devices, offering a free VPN app. Friday, Mozilla announced its now named Mozilla VPN app will be open for beta testing on Windows, iOS, and Android nationwide in the United States and launching publicly in a few weeks. The browser version will also transition to a subscription-based plan for $2.99 a month. Researchers at Awake Security, speaking to Reuters, report that a series of Chrome extensions available through the Chrome Web Store were part of a spyware campaign to obtain browser histories and gain access to credentials to internal business tools. Awake estimates these extensions were downloaded 32 million times and were mostly positioned as tools to either convert files or warn of questionable websites. Google was alerted by Awake last month and said it removed more than 70 malicious add-ons. It's unclear who organized the campaign. Zoom will launch an option for AES 256 GCM transport end-to-end encryption on its beta version in July for all users. Previously, Zoom said it would only launch end-to-end encryption for paid users. A toggle switch will now be available for call admins to turn on end-to-end encryption or turn it off. That will have to be off if you want to let normal phone users join. Free users who want the feature will have to provide additional verification, such as verifying a phone number by text message. Zoom says this is meant to stop mass creation of accounts. Dropbox launched Dropbox Passwords, its dedicated password manager, along with Dropbox Vault for encrypted storage of sensitive documents, securable with a six-digit PIN for mobile users on the Dropbox Plus plan. Dropbox also added the ability to back up system folders from PCs or Macs in beta for Dropbox Basic, Professional, and Plus users. Headlines from less reliable sources Monday announced a massive denial-of-service attack on the United States. The evidence was seen in outages from T-Mobile and Twitch, among others. But Matthew Prince, CEO of Cloudflare, explained on Twitter why those coincidences did not indicate a denial of service attack. Cloudflare is the predominant provider of defense against DDoS attacks. He explained that the T-Mobile outage was caused by a configuration change that went badly, leading to 6 hours of cascading failures, something T-Mobile confirmed later in the week. That caused a lot of people to complain on Twitter about not being able to get to a particular site. Here were also some other coincident yet unrelated outages, like ones on Twitch. The number of people complaining about popular sites being down caused Down Detector to report these sites as down, because Down Detector relies on Twitter as one of its main signals. That led people to an attack map from Arbor Networks that seemed to show a massive attack. Prince claimed Arbor, a competitor to Cloudflare, always makes its map look bad as a marketing measure. Prince posted screen shares of Cloudflare data that indicated no DDoS was happening. A look at the Arbor attack map after the attack was supposedly over, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, showed the same massive attack look as Monday. However, most services were back up by that time. There was a massive DDoS attack in February. Amazon announced its AWS Shield service mitigated a DDoS attack that generated 2.3 terabits per second of traffic in mid-February, making it the largest attack AWS has seen. The previous record was a 1.7 terabit per second attack in March 2018. Amazon didn't disclose the target, but said it was carried out using compromised connectionless lightweight directory access protocol web servers, which are usually used to connect, search, and modify internet shared directories. Norway's data protection agency asked that the country's contact tracing app be suspended by June 23rd because of threats to user privacy. The Norwegian Institute of Public Health disagrees with the evaluation, but will disable GPS and Bluetooth in the app as of June 16th and delete user data as soon as possible. Finally, Intel announced plans to build anti-malware directly into its CPUs. Tiger Lake Mobile chips will be the first to integrate something called Control Flow Enforcement Technology, or CET, which was jointly developed by Intel with Microsoft. CET addresses ROP, or return-oriented programming. ROP was malware's response to executable space protection and address space layout randomization, or ASLR, which stopped changes to system memory. So ROP got around those protections by hijacking functions already placed in memory, essentially reordering when the functions run to return information to the malware. One way CET gets around ROP is something called a shadow stack. ShadowStack makes a copy of the order in which operations are executed in a CPU for each app, which is stored in a secure part of the CPU. If the CPU notices functions running out of order, it stops execution. CET also defends against other attacks like jump-oriented programming and call-oriented programming. Intel released the CET specifications in 2016 to give app makers time to update apps to support them, and Windows Insider builds already include support. Intel says it plans to integrate CET across desktop and server platforms as well. For more discussion of the tech news of the day, subscribe to DailyTechNewsShow.com. You can find show notes and links to the headlines there as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.